Blog Talk Radio.
The Second Epistle General of Peter. 2 Peter 1.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen. 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 You are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here with Elder Mark from the Living Her Life Kingdom Builders, and it is Saturday, the 6th of October. We pray God for another day, for another opportunity to give God the glory in our lives and in our ministries, and to encourage you, brothers, who are listening today. If you called in at 646-668-2636, you can press 1 on your keypad. And if you have any questions or inputs to our discussion today, we're going to talk about the character of a man. We're going to talk about three character traits, characteristics of a godly man, especially of a godly man, a man who professed Christ. You also, if you're listening at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, we would like to welcome you also for listening online. Amen. Well, we're going to open with prayer, and then I'm going to go to Elder Mark. And then we're going to start our conversation. God, we say thank you today, God. Thank you, God, for everything that you've done, God. Thank you, God, for being God. Thank you, God, that you are in control of all the circumstances and situations of our life, God. Father, you see the beginning and the end, oh God. So, Father, today we submit ourselves unto your will today, oh God, that you might speak, oh God, that you might speak through us, in us, and use us, oh God, to spread the gospel, to encourage your brother today, oh God, on this program. Continue to strengthen and encourage the body of Christ. Continue to watch over our leaders and those who serve, oh God. Strengthen them, God. They will continue to serve, even though they're not men pleasers, God, but encourage them also, because we are just mere men of flesh and we need encouragement. Keep the hope of your eternal deliverance, your eternal salvation in every heart of every believer all over the world. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, again, today we're going to be talking about some of the character traits of a man. Character of a man. We're going to touch on three. There's so many, but we're going to try to focus on three for this next coming hour. Elder Mark, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm blessed, sir. Thank you for having me. And how are you today, sir?
I'm doing good. We're doing wonderful. It's another good day. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, brother, we're going to jump right in. I'm going to let you start off. We're going to talk about three today. We're going to talk about selfishness, sensitivity, and servant leadership. And I'll let you start off with which one we want to delve into first to give encouragement to the brothers that are listening out there.
I guess we can start with selflessness. And, you know, we talk about how selfish we are as people, how we, you know, don't want to do for anybody. But I have a question for the brothers listening. When you have actually gone out of your way to do something for someone, I know for myself, I feel a certain way. I feel like I've done something that just took weight off of me, even in my own situation. If I'm dealing with something, I might be going through something, but an opportunity to help somebody else, I look at that as a blessing because it gives me opportunity to share with somebody else. And in that time, I never know whether me sharing in the midst of my pain will help me to see someone else going through, and their testimony can save me. But truly giving ourselves, that's what selflessness is. It's giving ourselves to others just as Christ gave himself to us. Christ gave the ultimate sacrifice. Even on the cross, he said, Father, take this cup from me, but if it be your will, I will do it. Like, remove this pain from me. Don't make me go through this. Do I really have to do this? But if it's your will, I'll do it. And sometimes we'll be in that place where you got to do something for somebody, for your husbands, for your wives, for your family. You got to make that sacrifice that makes everything around you so uncomfortable, makes it feel like it's almost painful to do. But let's not even talk about the painful part of it. Just giving yourself up, giving up with you, your desires. Can you walk away from the game on a Sunday? I don't know how many Ravens fans we got on the line, but can you walk away from the Ravens game to sit down and spend time with your wife? Can you walk away from going to go play ball with your homeboys to help your son do his science project? Can you walk away from the things that make you happy, that you feel are the quote-unquote stress relievers in your life? Can you walk away from those things and give those up to help somebody else, to better somebody else, to do something and serve somebody else? That's selflessness. And for me, that was something that was hard to do for a while. Like, you want me to stop doing what like that? But that's what I do. That's what I do to help me relax. I need that. But then as I realized, the more that I did for others, there was a spirit of just gentleness that came about me, that things that I was dealing with didn't even matter because I saw someone else get through their pain. So it made me think, oh, I'm going to get through mine. And I don't need to have this quote-unquote stress relief. I don't need this I don't need this outsource. I don't need a way to release all my anger or deal with my issues, and I don't need to step away from everything to be able to deal with something. I can be in the midst of it, and because I'm helping somebody else, it relieves the problems I'm going through as well. That's selflessness. That's giving of yourself to others, just as the way Christ gave himself. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen. You know, I agree with what you're saying, because that is it. We have to be as men of God, to be husbands, to be fathers, and to be sons. You know, we have to, selfishness is one of the character traits we have to develop. You know, some people have it. You know, some people naturally will do for others, will be willing to give up, give to others, do for others. But then also, I think in that there's also a certain level of maturity to that, and that's the other side of it too. That selfishness is, what are we willing to do for others and give of ourselves, just as Christ gave of himself? Because without the Holy Spirit, you know, when our flesh rises up, because sometimes people give and they call themselves being selfish and willing to give to others and do for others, but the flesh rises up, because the difference with Christ is he did what he did regardless. Because if we remember what the gospel teaches, even yet we were still sinners, he gave his life for us. And for us as men, our selfishness kicks in when we do something for somebody, either they don't appreciate it, or they don't change, or they don't do what we think they should have done. So that's what we have to, it's easy to say it on a superficial level, but if we take it back to a biblical term and what Christ has done, then we have to realize that it's about, even when they were yet enemies, so yet not gonna, they're not gonna follow through, or they find themselves in the same circumstance even after all you gave. And that's where we have to be in a place. That's where true biblical selfishness is. Let me real quick, I want to go to Titus chapter number 2. Because I always want to put a scripture cap on these things, or foundation to what we're talking about. For those of you who are listening out on online and who called in. Titus chapter number 2. And I'll go to verse 14 where it says, wait a minute, I'm going to start at 13. Titus 2, verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem from all iniquity and purify unto himself a particular people zealous for good works. 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And that's what, you know, Paul was telling Titus, that these are the things that we have to do as men, especially as fathers and husbands, as we lead spiritually. Lead in the temple realm, as we lead our families, lead in our homes, the spiritual development of those around us. We have to be able to do that work as Christ did that work. And sometimes it's sacrificial. I think sacrificial and sacrifice ties in to selfishness. It's that thing that we have to understand, that we have a greater purpose, and we want to see good for others, even when they don't want to see good in themselves, and they may not want to change. But what are we willing to do and continue to give and sacrifice for? Because, again, the biblical example is Christ. And if Christ gave for the sinner, for those who enemy, even today, those who reject him, those who ridicule and persecute the body of Christ, Christ died for their souls also. So the time of redemption is not at hand until they die. And then they have to stand in judgment. But for us as men, as husbands and fathers, we have to be in that place. Do we have that spirit, supernatural, let me say that, the Holy Ghost-filled, supernatural Christian sacrifice? And are we willing to endure those things even when it doesn't go? And I think that's important, we talk about sacrifice. Because a lot of times it's good to put things out there, and these are the things that we measure ourselves against. Where are we? Where are you today? As you look at yourself and consider who you are, who you used to be, and where you are today, or have you grown in selfishness? It's just like my easiest scenario I could put is, if you give somebody some money, or lend them money, whatever, and with no expectation of getting it back, that's rude selfishness. Even though they say they want to pay you back, but you know deep down they're not. But now, are you ready to forgive that debt, redeem that debt? They no longer owe it to you, and if you treat them in a way like they never owed you no money, for the next time you see them, even when you see them prosper, that's the test. This is why it's a God thing. It's a Holy Spirit thing. It's something that's in us that God wants to regenerate and make us new. Amen?
Amen.
Anything you want to add to that, brother? Because I think it's so much, and it's all on so many different levels.
I would definitely... What you said about money, that really, you know, hits home when you talk about it. How do you give knowing someone's going to give, you know? And back in the day and where I was, you know, to lend somebody a couple of dollars, you know, I got you, man. You know, I look after it for you. We're going out, we're hanging out, whatever. I'll cover you today because I know you're a little short, or you tell me you're a little short. And then I cover you, and we, you know, we're talking, brothers. We, you know, we hang out. We go to, we went to the bar. We did this. We whatever. We went away for the weekend, or however. And you know, and the guy that was part of the crew that was a little short on money, somebody covered him. But then, a month later, after you spent your $200 or $300 covering that person a couple times here and there, a month later they come into some money, and all of a sudden they're walking around the neighborhood. And they got on new kicks. They got on new clothes. They, you know, they may even come up in a new car. And you're looking like, man, what happened to that, you know, $200 I gave you, or that $200 I paid for you on these last six or seven trips that's amounted to a couple $1,000 or $1,000 that I never thought about getting back. I never worried about it. But now you got money, and you looking at me like, you, like I never did anything. That's selflessness when I can say, you know what, I'm not even worried about it. I'm glad to see you're up on your feet. I'm glad to see you moving. I'm not worried about it because in that time it was an opportunity for me to share what I had. That's selflessness. But when you put it in those contexts and you're talking about somebody hanging out on the street, see, it's a difference when you talk about being a blessing to help somebody, you know, get some food to eat, helping a homeless person or a person you know in your church that's, you know, they lost their job, so you're, you know, you're drawing together to be a blessing to them, and then 2 weeks later or a month later they've got another job, but they don't think about paying you back the little bit of money you stuffed in their hand walking by during a time of fellowship. That's a different, that's a totally different topic or different understanding than we start talking about how you're living in the secular world and what the, and where you are with that. Like talking about on the street, that's fighting terms back in the day. That's the thing. You like, wait a minute, you cross me, you think you can get over on me. But we have to realize Christ walked the streets. Christ was around the sinners. Christ was around those that were considered the low of the low. And he still gave himself completely for all of us. Those that were that believed in who he was, those that did not believe, but he knew giving of himself was going to save someone else, would help someone else, would change another life. Are you willing to give of yourself to do something that would change another life? And that goes back to, like I said, when you're talking about helping your family, helping your kids, can for the new age, can you walk away from playing 2K on the game to go help your lady cook dinner for the kids? Or can you walk away from the video game to do something in your household while you're, you know, while everybody else is tied up doing something? Will you just sit by and look at the things you know need to be done or can be done and simply sit back and say, hey, well, that's, I don't feel like being bothered with it. Somebody else can handle it. That true, that there is selflessness. Selflessness would be to get up, remove yourself from your comfortable place and go do something that may be uncomfortable but would help somebody else. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And, you know, and even on in the spiritual realm, what are we doing? Are we seeking the Word of God? Are we studying the Word of God? Are we doing those things? And then when it comes back to the body of Christ, what are we doing in our churches? What are we doing as members of the churches? You know, we're going to talk about something later on down the road. We're going to talk about servant leadership. But right now, in the selfishness, what are we doing in, as quote-unquote, let me say it like this, as quote-unquote members of a local congregation, local fellowship, what are you known to be doing in the ministry to support the vision and the mission? And what are you willing to sacrifice? Because there's always things to be done. Or if you ask to do something, you do it. But you're only going to do it for a while. You're only going to hold on for a while, then for a season, then you're going to start complaining. You know, these are the things you have to look at too in the spiritual realm. What are we sacrificing to study and mature and grow in the Word of God? I know previously in one of our past shows, we talked about seven things to help grow you spiritually. What are you doing? What are you doing in that area? Because I say this, it's a thin line, but just listening to your pastor's sermons weekly, it takes more than that to be spiritually mature and grow. It's like anything else. I always equate it back to our education. Everyone talks about how important education is, But, you know, what are we willing, to do more to get a bachelor's degree, master's degree, certificate, associate's degree than we are willing to do to grow spiritually in knowledge and wisdom in the Word of God? You know, and that's where I'll always bring it back to. When it comes to our time, what are we doing to grow in the things of God? And it's not about, and let me say this, because it's something that we get in conversations about. It's not about how much scripture you memorize. It's how much scripture you apply in your life, in everyday life. And that's where we have to be able to look at ourselves as men, as husbands and fathers, and where we are we growing, and what are we doing to feed those around us that we are to be covering and have responsibility for. So that's one of the things when we talk about selfishness, there's always a spiritual side also. So that's why, you know, again, it's not easy. Everyone can't do it. But us as Christian men, we find that we have a greater resource and a source of our strength and our power, and that's the Holy Spirit and the Christ that lives within us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Elder, I'm going to go. We're going to move to the next one. If you could, Elder, could you get Romans 12 and 15 for me? Because we're going to move to, and I want you to read that. It's Romans 12 and 12 and 15. And we're going to be talking about sensitivity, being able to exercise kindness and compassion. That we can go beyond the logic and respond to others when others are suffering, when others are going through stuff. Are we sensitive to their needs? Or are we just worried about us? We're worried about as long as I'm okay, as long as my wife is okay and my kids are okay. But I think this is one of the things as men, especially in the body of Christ, are we sensitive to those around us? Are we cool? Now, this goes back to, again, in our local churches and fellowships. Are we sensitive? Are we really in fellowship with one another in the body of Christ, in our local congregation? And that doesn't mean just because this one is one that people get upset about, but how many people's homes have you been to in your local congregation? Because, again, I don't know about you, but back in the when we was in the world, there was always a place. There was always a house party. There was a hangout. There was a spot that we would spend lots of hours together doing whatever was your fancy. You would go. If it was the neighborhood bar, the neighborhood strip club, the social club, card parties, whatever. Weekend get-togethers, happy hour. But in the body of Christ, besides, if you take the 3 hours on Sunday, because I will even give you, I'll give you three. Some of you are late and some of you leave early, but the 3 hours on Sunday, how much time do you really spend with the body of Christ and know what's going on? Yeah, brother, can you give me Romans 12 and 15 and tell me what you think about the importance of a character trait of being sensitive?
Amen, amen. Romans 12 and 15, this is coming from the New King James Version, and it reads this: rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Simply celebrate with those who are celebrating and weep with those who are weep. Cry with those who are crying. Sometimes you're going to have to cry and be a shoulder for somebody to cry on. But those things, you don't know. Like Deacon Farr said, if you only spend the 3 hours with people in the body of Christ, you only spend that 3 hours with them and you don't know anything about them, you don't know if they're truly rejoicing. You don't know if they're truly weeping. Because we can all put on a mask for a few hours. But when you get to know somebody, when your level of sensitivity builds up that you know the people around you, you know what they're going through, even by the look on their face because of your understanding of them, you start to know what you can understand when they're going through something. You can see it. Not that their face is full of pity or their face is, you know, full, they're looking pitiful and beat down, but just the way a person smiles, their mannerisms. I think if we take the time to just get to know one another, and sometimes, and Deacon Farr, I know you're going to You might have to get me for this later on. But we can't always be Bible thumpers. We can't, and I was talking to a young gentleman about this the other day, and we just casually met doing some work at a property. He was doing some landscaping work, and I was doing some other work. But we just started talking, and we got to the subject of church. He asked me what church I attended, and I told him, of course, I attend New Vision for Life Church in Woodlawn, Maryland. Told him about the church, told him that I work with the men's ministry. And the first thing I said to him, I said, we may come off different because I'm not gonna throw scripture at you first. That's not going to be the first part of our conversation. I want to talk to get to know who you are so you can know who I am, and then you can trust that when I'm talking to you, I'm not coming from a place of judgment. I'm not throwing what Job says you should have done or what Titus says you didn't do or what Romans says how you should act or Romans says how you should live or what Acts or Revelations. I'm not throwing Bible verses at you. I'm talking to you and testifying who I am and who I've been through. And that, too, is a level of sensitivity that you understand that you can't just go and talk to somebody and expect that they're where you are and that you can talk to them and give them judgment and that's going to change their life. Do you know the people that are around you? Do you know the people that you fellowship with on Sunday? Do you know them that if you saw them in the middle of the week, you wouldn't be ashamed to call their name and say, hey, brother, how you doing, in the midst of the people you call friends? Do you know those people? Are they truly the ones that you have relationship with? As the word says, iron sharpens iron. But if you don't even know a person's dulled down, you don't know what to do to try to help sharpen them. And sometimes sharpening them will sharpen you. But once again, if you don't have relationship, if you don't have kindness, if you're not exercising kindness and compassion to get beyond just the simple monotonous, like you said, 3 hours of time that you spend. Because if that's all you're doing is spending 3 hours, if you're just spending 3 hours in church, you're probably just spending those 3 hours with God. Because as soon as you walk out of the church doors, you're back to something else. You're back to where you used to be. But when you take the time to build up, and those people around you that are like-minded, that are growing, that have the desire to learn about God, when you develop relationship with those people, in your level of sensitivity, you're going to have a greater desire for life change because the things that used to be acceptable aren't acceptable anymore. Those things that you want to grow away from are the things that you move away from. God opens doors and he closes doors. We got to learn to walk away from the doors that he's closing instead of standing by him and trying to open them back up as soon as we think God's not looking at us. But that's another topic. We'll have to talk about that one later. I think I might go a little too far. Back to you, sir.
Yeah, you're good, brother. You're good. Amen. Amen. But you're right. We have to be sensitive. As men of God, we have to be sensitive to those around us for the needs. And then this goes back to, again, as husbands, are we sensitive to the needs of our wives? Do we know what's going on with them spiritually, emotionally, physically? You know, we have to be sensitive. We have to know when things are just not right in the flow of our home. As husbands, as fathers, our children, do we really know their struggles? Do we understand? Do we hear what's going on in their voice? A lot of times, you know, as fathers, we be accused of not understanding or not knowing, but that's a whole other discussion because it's about perception. And then sometimes, you know, even our children have expectations of how they think we should respond to the issues and the things, but are we sensitive? Do we understand? And then are we in a place where we are trying to minister to it and try to help get it to another place and enduring some things? Again, when we come with that selfishness, because these, I think it's tied together. If we're sensitive to the needs of others, if we're sensitive and perceptive and we know how to respond to others, that's where the selfishness is going to kick in, because even hurting people don't even know when you try to come alongside. If they're hurting, they might lash out in all kinds of different ways. And then are we willing to be selfish and not get into our feelings, into our emotions, and respond to everything? Or do we find a balance? I mean, it's a place you have to grow into. It's a place where you have to, as a man of God, it takes a lot of prayer and maturity. but you still have to be able to press through and press. Like even when you get it, when you don't get it right, but you always have to repent and get the opportunity again, because you know things happen to us in life. They tend to happen, and they happen again, especially when you're dealing with those that you are responsible for. You know, these things are going to come up again. How are you going to respond to it the next time? So I think that's important, that we understand what to be sensitive to where people are, and then being able to encourage them and to be able to know when to encourage and to push people past where they're at. Because, again, some folk fall into failure and need to be pushed, but no one pushes because everyone is they have compassion and they have what we used to call pity parties. Because pity parties are not necessarily a place, and it's not necessarily, we have to know the difference between weeping with them, but yet still encouraging them that it moves on, that God has more, God has a plan, and don't get stuck right where you are. So we have to be sensitive to that, and I think that's the thing also. Because folk are going to fall, we in ourselves, we're going to fall and stumble, but are we willing to know that we have to keep pushing through no matter how we feel or no matter how it looks like or what's going on? Because it's going to always get better. And I believe that's where the hope of God is. And we have to, as men, husbands and fathers, be able to encourage folk past their pain, past their weeping, and even in celebrating. Because some people celebrate, they celebrate like and they think they achieved and now they have to do nothing else. That can also be a problem. Because I know, you look back on it, I like to always use this example. You know, some people's greatest time in their life was high school, even though that was 35 years ago. They'll reminisce over what happened, how good they were in high school, the accomplishments, all these things. And even same thing in, for those who go to college. Everybody likes to reminisce about where they used to be, but then they get stuck in the past. Let me just say it like that. And then but that's also something that we have to be, we have to be able to press through and press around and look at our circumstance and be sensitive to the needs of everyone and then people around us and even in ourselves, because again it always starts with us. If we're not sensitive and know we're struggling, know how to reach out, know how to help, how to seek God, seek fellowship, seek prayer, seek counsel, we can't say doing other people, we can't do it in ourselves. I think that's very important, that we are sensitive to what's going around, we have compassion, we have perception. So we can be able to, again, as men, we're called to lead in the home, in the community, in the church. So we have to be sensitive to what's going on around us, and especially when we're doing ministry to others. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
You're listening to Issues Christian Men Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Barr. We're here every Monday night at 8, every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And we just want to talk about some of the issues and give words of encouragement. Talk about some of the issues. You can always call in at 646-668-2636. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Barr, you can call in, share your insights, share, have any questions you want to ask us, just push one on your keypad for the brothers that are there. We're going to do a commercial break right here because we have a couple of events coming up I wanted to share with my audience here. The first one coming up is the Howard County Coalition to Prevent Intimate Partner Violence, their 2018 Dialogue Series. And we're going to be promoting healthy relationships for our youth, friendships, the good and the bad. And that's going to be held on Thursday, October the 11th at 4:30 p.m. at the Baltimore Washington Conference Center of the United Methodist Church at 11711 East Market Place in Fulton, Maryland. Is going to be increase awareness, end the silence, connect with resources, and be proactive in these relationships. The key to relationships and friendships, because again, we look back in our youth and our childhood, how we develop friendships and relationships when we were young, it seemed so easy. But now, with the way the culture is, with media, social media, technology, things is, our young people are being bombarded with a lot of things and they get into unhealthy relationships for whatever reason, for whatever choices. But we're going to talk about how to promote healthy relationships in young people, knowing the difference between good and bad friends. I mean, the same thing your grandma and your mama told you, we have to be speaking to this generation about, because all this, especially when it goes into boyfriend, girlfriend, intimate partner relationships, dating, courting, marriages, again, when we talk about domestic violence and intimate partner violence, it starts somewhere. And it starts in the root, and then it grows into the fruit, and then we have the issues of domestic violence. We have physical violence, emotional abuse, psychological abuse. But if we can nip it in the bud and teach our young people how to better develop real friendships and healthy relationships. Because, you know, we all know, you know, puppy love used to be a cute thing, but now, you know, we have young kids playing adult games when it comes to relationships. And then emotionally, physically, or psychologically ready to deal with it. But again, that's the Howard County Coalition for Intimate Partner Violence, promoting healthy friendship, healthy relationships with the youth, friendships, good, bad, and yelly, ugly, Thursday, October the 11th, 2018 at 4:30 p.m. You can reach out for information to register. This is a free event. We have some guest speakers and social workers who's going to speak and educators. And you can call 443-695-6110, or you can go to the Facebook page. You'll see the link for the eBrite. Again, it's a free registration, but we just want you to register so we can have refreshments and just know that you're coming. Amen? Amen. Also, the Coalition of Ministries Two Men presents the Man Up event on Saturday, October the 20th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Going to be held at 6716 Ritchie Highway in Glen Burnie, Maryland. Participating churches is Pastor Alexander Butler from Perfect Order Church, Apostle Etta Banks from New Vision for Life, Pastor Arthur Thompson from Living Water in D.C., and Pastor George Shaw from Jesus Lives Fellowship. Men's groups are coming together for a one-day conference for the encouraging strength and submission. We're going to talk about our strength and our submission to God in our homes, in our families, and in our lives, how we gain strength by our submission to Christ and His Word and to the submission of the Holy Spirit in our everyday walk. So we're going to encourage the brothers. We're asking for a $20 donation to cover lunch and your toolbox. We're going to give you resources and tools that you can take home. You can tune up your relationships, tune up your submission, work on your spiritual life, your home life, you know, your relationships. So we're going to give you some tools there, some material that you can take back, that you can wax the wheels and buff out the bumps and bruises and scratches in what you're doing. Amen. So again, that's Man Up, Strength and Submission on Saturday, October the 20th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. You can go on our Facebook page. You see the link there for the registration on PayPal, or you can reach out to us and inbox us on Facebook, or you can call 443-591-3504. Email us at rejoicetv@gmail.com. There's also several ways you can reach out to us to register and let us know you're coming out. Amen? Amen. Today, we are talking about character of a man. So far, we talked about selflessness, sensitivity, and now we're going to talk about the big one. We're going to take the next 40 minutes here, the last segment of the show here, we're going to talk about servant leadership, exercising real good leadership as Christ did. We know the example of when Christ took his towel and he was able to wash the feet of disciples. He humbled himself as a servant leader. He never gave up anything who he was or what he was called to do or following the will of his Father, but yet he served. He took a role as a servant. When we saw in the story in the Gospels of him washing the disciples' feet. So servanthood is one of those things that we have to be as men of God. Sometimes, because in the secular world, being a servant and a leader is sometimes two different columns. But in the body of Christ, and biblically, a servant leader is what a leader is to be. And let me start this. I'm going to start off with this here. I'm going to throw this out there for everyone who's listening. We when we're in the church, I think sometimes we get it backwards, especially when we're young. Young Christians, I will say young people, young Christians. We think that the ministers, the deacons, the elders, and all of those people are people that we should be serving. And I think we really, really get it backwards in the church because they are called by God to serve the people, to minister to people, to make disciples, to send out disciples. Because remember, we look at the example of Christ. We look at the example of what was going on in the Gospels. What did Christ do? He served the 12 men to prepare to send them out. And are we doing that in our churches? Sometimes I think we get it backwards, where the people find themselves in a role where they're serving the leaders and the leaders are not serving the people. But that's just me, and that's why I have issues. Amen. Elder, let me come to you. Importance of being a servant leader, and what does that look like?
Sir, I just want to piggyback on what you just said. I think it is totally a it's a major issue in the church. I believe that the higher your title, the stronger level of servitude you're called to. If your title elevates you to the place that you can't bend at, if you can't clean up something in the church, then you're not serving. Christ was able, as the Son of God, the true Son of God, got down on his hands and knees and washed the feet of his disciples. He got down to the lowest point of the low, down in the muck and mud, to heal and to lay hands on people. That was service. Title, who he was, didn't stop him, didn't make him walk around in a robe. He could have walked around in the pearly white robe and not touched anything and stood from afar and just spoke out words. But he laid hands. He actually put his hand into. Servant leadership. You lead by example, and if we are called to serve, you are the leader. In leading, your example should be how to serve. If a leader can't show you how to serve, then that leader has missed the mark. Plain and simple. Some may disagree. Some may be mad at what I'm saying. But if you as a leader cannot show and don't do the job that shows others what it means to serve, you have missed the mark as a leader. Let's just go even beyond the church. And I know, and I do this many times. I'll just take it to a secular place. People talk about being the boss at their job, but then want the worker or their subordinates, however they feel in the place that they feel they are, want them to do a particular job, but are unwilling to have done that job or forget that at some point they were in the same place to have to do that job. You can't be a leader does so by example. A leader is willing to get down because it's the us and them. I'm the leader, you're the worker, or I'm the leader and you're the servant. It's not about that. It's about the team trying to build together. And for the body of Christ, it's about those that are called bringing up others so that they can understand their calling so that the body of Christ grows. But if we as the leaders look down or stand back looking over our nose at the work to be done because we quote-unquote made it, we're now the leaders, we're now the higher echelon of the church, why do you think that people don't relate to the church? Because they come in and look like I'm being judged, I'm being considered less of a person because I haven't received the teaching or the training that you had. We're all God's children, no matter whether you're an apostle, pastor, teacher, or whether you're the usher, or whether you're sister, and brother so-and-so that come every once in a while and sit in the back of the church. God loves us all the same and expects us all to serve. The greatest commandment is love thy God. That's the first and great commandment. The second is love others as you would want them to love yourself. Love those around you. And forgive me, I know that sounded a little off the way I said it. I realized it myself. But in any case, love those around you. Agape, that unconditional love. A leader that says, I'm not going to do because I'm higher than you, doesn't love with that unconditional love. That's not love. That's telling somebody they're less than you, so they've got to do it because it's something you won't do. I love my church because I have to stop my pastor because she'll walk in and start cleaning the toilets. But if you as a leader aren't willing to bend down and pick up a piece of trash and you look at someone else as though it's their job, why do you expect them to do it? You're the leader. Show them what it means to serve. A servant leader will show, give example, and then others will follow and be willing followers because they know you're dedicated to the cause. You're dedicated to changing lives. You're not there just to be the showpiece that sits in the podium, sits behind the podium, or sits at the altar, or sits in the high back chair, and sips out the crystal glass for your water while everyone else is sweating in the backside. Forgive me, I might have gone too far. Back to you, sir.
You're all right, brother. You are right, because again, we have to. Every one of us is going to be held accountable by God and how we carry it. Because I think it's what it is when we have. This is why I encourage every man of God, every person I know, every believer, man, woman, or child, is to read Scripture for yourself and understand Scripture and gain the knowledge and wisdom. Because we as human beings, this is one of our faults and one of our sins. And we want to put people on pedestals. We want to put people. Sometimes we put people in these untouchable places, you know, by our attitudes and the things that we do, instead of understanding if Christ, again, if we just remember what Christ has done, and he came to sacrifice himself, he came to serve, he came to make disciples, and if we're called to be disciples of Christ, then we should be living lives with the same heart for him. Even today, as we're talking about some of these characteristics of godly men and of a man, selfishness was Christ. Sensitivity, Christ knew their hurt. He knew the burden of sin. He knew the penalty of sin. He knew the sin that he came to remove from the hearts and souls of people. He was selfishness. He gave up himself. He came down from heaven, entered into the form of a man, into a human body, that he might die and give his life for us. What are we doing? What are we giving of ourselves for someone else? So to reach someone, to minister to someone. And as a servant leader, to me, it's when we talk about leading in our homes, leading as husbands and fathers, this is about being a servant leader. We're shaping and molding the next generation of people as fathers. We're showing our children how to live, how do we handle life, the circumstances of life, the ups and downs of life. They're watching us. We give wisdom and guidance and direction. We're mentoring. These are the things we have to show people how to apply the Word of God when we go back to the church. Because I see it as synonymous, it back and forth from what the body of Christ looks like as men and what we look at in our homes. And the two things are synonymous. This is why when Paul wrote about the qualifications of leaders, he put some things in there that a man who could not lead his home, how could he lead the church? And we have to see that. And we have to see that it worked out. And this is where application of the word comes in. Because we need to be examples. And we have to, and these are all character traits that we have to all work on and develop. And I think too, we just sometimes, because of sin and compromise and just who we are as human beings, we forget it. We slip out of it. And we forget what the word of God is teaching us. Let me go real quick. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 22. It says Luke chapter 22 and verse 6. Wait a minute, got a paper Bible. Got a flip back here closed on me. Luke 22, verse number 26, and it says, But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he have done, as he doeth to serve. So even in the midst of all that, where are we? Are we at a point where we are mature? Because even as leaders in the church, we are mature, but are we still willing to serve the younger, to help them, to minister to them? Because that's what ministry really is. It's us getting to the place of maturity, knowledge, and wisdom, and then going back and discipling others to get to where we are, to understanding the things of God, to make disciples of Christ and not disciples of ourselves. That's a whole other discussion. But we are to make the people, because again, God has created each of us individually and on purpose, for a purpose and a reason. And as I always say, those who know me and listen to our show, every man out there, God saved you because there's one other person that only is going to receive the gospel and the truth of Christ from you. So this is why our lives is intersected. This is why we encourage each other, because our pastors, no matter how big his church is, everyone is not going to hear the gospel and receive it from him. Because there's a soul out there that only at a certain time in your life, you have to be able to stand and share the gospel message with them and receive the gospel. Because God's going to take you places he can't take your pastor. He's going to take you places where the evangelist won't go and the elder's not going to go there. You know, that's not their circle. But there's a circle of souls that you're going to be able to reach. And are you prepared to be able to reach them? Are you prepared to evangelize? Are you prepared to tell people what you believe and why you believe it? These are the things that we have to be able to do when we talk about being disciples of Christ. Can we tell someone about Christ in our life? And like you said earlier, Elder, it's not about scripture thumping. It's about application of scripture, the understanding and knowledge of scripture and the wisdom of scripture and how we talk to folk and we engage folk. Because trust me, there's people out there who heard scripture their whole lives and never knew how or learned how to apply it or what it really meant to them. They just heard it, go to church, put a shirt and tie on, act right, be right. And nothing, this goes way back when I first realized that the gospel is, it's we can train people to act, and we can train a dog to sit up and sit down, but he's still a dog inside. So until we are made renewed, regenerated, we made new creatures, we have new hearts, we're going to do the same thing. We just want to cover it up. So we want to get to the place where we're changing minds and hearts, and people are hearing the word and being filled with the Spirit, and thereby submitting themselves unto the Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So again, it's just so much, Elder. So I, that servant leader, that's a big one. I think we could do a whole show on servant leadership, but you know, as I say, you know, some we have to be careful. As individuals, as members of the churches and body of Christ, we have to be careful that we don't let the flesh rise up in these relationships. Because I've heard this before, that sometimes we look at pastors and our bishops, and we call them CFOs and what is the other one? Board of directors, leaders of the board and all that. But I don't believe that's what Christ's church is about. When we take those examples from some secular models and want to bring them into the church instead of letting the church be what it's supposed to be. So that's a whole other discussion on how we organize ourselves. But again, I encourage every man out there, read scripture, apply the word of God to your life, and apply it to those around you that you are responsible to cover for. And because we're supposed to be building real koinonia and fellowship. We're supposed to build the body. Christ is going to build his body, and he's going to build the body of Christ the way he wants it. And we should, and we compromise. We bring in other philosophies and thinking, but the Word of God is our blueprint, our foundation, our chalk line. And the more of us men who study, understand the Word, we have teachable spirits. We're humble in our spirits and knowledge for understanding, and then go to apply it. And I think then we will stand before God and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Because one of the things I'll say this, and I'm come back to you, Elder, is we have to remember, each one of us, every man out there who's listening to the sound of my voice, you are going to stand before God alone. Doesn't matter who your pastor was, your bishop, your district bishop, your emissary. It doesn't matter who that man, who those people were. You're going to stand before God, and God's going to hold you accountable for what he called and created and purpose he gave you, and did you fulfill that purpose? Were you willing to be selfless, sensitive, and a good servant leader with what God has entrusted you with? What do you say, sir?
Amen. Yes, sir. The only one that can answer for you is you. So if you aren't willing to make the change, prepare to accept your consequences. The same thing happens in our secular life, in our spiritual life. When it comes to that day of judgment, whether it be in the courtroom or whether it be standing before the throne of God, however your judgment, wherever your judgment is, you will be the one there receiving the judgment for your actions by yourself. No one else will be held responsible. So as a man, about submission, we've talked about service, we've talked about so many topics. but all of them lead to you have to be the one to make the final decision. Decide now. Are you going to serve God and answer the call? Are you going to live by the ways of the world? Who will you submit to? What will you honor? And what will you thrive to do? Thrive to be different than the world, or thrive to be a part of the decaying world that it is? I pray that your decision is the first, that you thrive to be something different than what the world says, and answer to the call of God, answer to the will of God, and see the abundant blessings that he has for you. But if your decision is the latter, pray for you and continue to pray that your mind and heart will be changed. I know I was one for a long time that preferred the latter. I wanted to live the way of the world. But someone that prayed for me, situations happened in my life that changed me, and I realized how good God truly is. And every day I grow more and more blessed being in the presence of God, being around like-minded Christian people, serving, honoring God, and receiving bountiful rewards for doing so that will last beyond this existence. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Again, brother, I thank you for joining. I thank you for your wisdom that you shared. And I thank you, brother, for you being a faithful brother in the faith. And I encourage you to keep on pressing and keep the hope that God has given in our lives. Because there's lives that they were touching. I mean, we had a manifestation of it last week as we've seen brothers get breakthroughs and healing and reconciliation come. So be encouraged, my brother. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you for joining us. This has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. We're here every game. We're here Monday night, 8 p.m., every Thursday night, 8 p.m., and on Saturdays at 9 a.m. We thank you for joining us in this broadcast today, and we'll see you. Listen to us again. We'll be back on Monday morning, Monday evening at 8 p.m. Father, we say thank you today. Thank you for those who have listened. Thank you for those who have called in and listened online. Father, I thank you for my brother, oh God, as you continue to strive and give wisdom and share it. God, thank you for this opportunity. It might speak life into someone today, oh God. Strengthen them and keep them. Watch over your body. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
From every nation, we give your name all praise today, and we glorify you.